I want to thank everybody for coming. I want to thank everybody for watching. We are on Parashat Ba'alotcha. We are on Wednesday. I want to thank the host, Mr. Siegel, for having us in his facility.
Thank you, Chaim.
This is the shiur about the Parsha. First we give questions and then we're going to speak about the Parsha. How are we?
I don't understand is this whole, you explained it in the past by even Saram Yom Moshe with the Nun, the forward and the backward Nun. You've said that it's a Parsha in itself, but I never exactly understood what that
meant. That was actually my question. With the Nuns, and how does that translate to seven books?
Who said it's seven books?
I mean, what I was reading in the Midrash said that that the Torah is not 5 books, it could be actually 7 books because of
the nuns
and Bam, and this book Bamidbar could be, I think it was 3 books or 2 or 3 books in itself.
Okay, you want to add to that if you already bring it up how it's answered to 7 books?
I'm not sure I understand why.
Okay. Anybody else? So we asking the question about Vayibin So Aaron, Vayom Moshe, Kum Hashem.
You want all the questions in the beginning?
Please.
So why do we wave the Levim?
Why we need to
wave the Levim?
It's not to wave, it's to raise them.
Shake them up.
And what's that have to do with them? Because that's what it has to do with the menorah. So why the trumpets? Why not a shofar to move the people?
So the Levim, why we raise the Levim?
Yeah. Why 7 books?
And then you say, why trumpet?
Right. What's the clouds and the fire all about?
Anan v'Arafel?
Yeah.
Okay, Anan Barafel.
And
the video in, please.
Hadad Uvamed Umedad.
Of course.
Why were they
Eldad Umeldad Bamachane?
Right, they were 2 of the 72 not chosen, right? And I think they were the 2 that were not chosen from the Sanhedrin.
No, they all chosen, the 72 been chosen. Don't sit behind me, I cannot talk with somebody behind me.
There was 2 that I read in Rashi, that 2 of the 72 would not be chosen, there would be 70 chosen. And I was wondering if that was Adad and Adad.
Anybody else? Please.
Rabbi, in the beginning, so Rashi says that the reason why the Halosefa is next to the all the princes bringing, all the Nasis bringing gifts is because Aaron had felt bad that he didn't bring a gift and his Shevet didn't bring a gift. But in reality, the Nasim, all the Nasim, they brought their gifts were Nadavas. So why couldn't Aaron just come and say, here's my Nadava too? It's not like Hashem asked them to bring gifts. They all showed up and Hashem said, 1 man per day.
Okay. So they're asking about the Nesim, the last parsha, they have all the Nesim, all the president. The president bought all the sacrifice, and Aaron didn't get anything to do with the Mishkan, anything to do with the sacrifice. Okay? What else?
So the fruits that the Jews said that they missed in Egypt, they were the garlic, there was a couple of other fruits, and they seem like the words or the fruits have their own meaning, and I was just wondering if we could go through the meanings. What is the spiritual significance of those?
I think before we're going to go into the meaning, we need to understand first why they complain about.
Right, because they got it, you know.
Okay.
They were complaining about Aaron and Cohen not getting and not bringing the present to us,
No, they did not.
They were complaining about
the meat, that they didn't have meat.
He was sad that he didn't bring the present.
Oh, so he was sad. So why didn't he light the menorah?
Yeah, but I said the question is why didn't he just bring a present?
He has a different question. You asked your question.
You had the turrets.
No, I'm saying he got to light the menorah.
Okay.
Why is it mentioned Pesach Sheni here in Kolos?
Okay.
When is this happening?
Pesach Sheni.
Parshas Yithro and this part where it talks about Yithro walking, going back to his country, is it simultaneously or is it a different time?
There's no time in the Torah between and after. Understand? When they organize the tribe, that means they bring Yithro, that Yithro is, he didn't want to walk with him in the desert. Why?
Okay, yeah, why and what? So there was no, it's not, time is not an element here. What, why is it say, what happened that made it, is there a significance of 2 years and 2 months? Like why is it killing, what does that mean?
What do you mean? I don't understand what is the question.
And any number is supposed to be important in Torah. You want
yes.
That. But then what, why is it, what's the significance? It so happens that it's two and two, or two, the second year and the second month? What do we need to know that this happened? Is there anything to learn out from that?
Okay.
Can you just also just generally talk about the significance of lighting the menorah and what comes with that?
Everybody asks a question, but it doesn't seem to me that anybody read the parsha.
Oh, 1 second.
If a person read the parsha is so dwell in so many objects and so many information that this information have to be cross each other. And if you ask in a detail about one subject and you do not confirm it with another subject, that means you basically did not read the parsha. The parsha is one coming as one unit. When you look into the parsha, it's like one person. You have the arm, you have leg, you have body, you have mouth. You need to relate to whatever the parsha said to the entire configuration of the parsha. But everybody come in and he said, why and why and why? It's very nice, but come on, guys. You are not children. You need to look a little bit deeper than that. To cross information with Rashi, to cross information with the Haftarah, to cross information with something, the Parshim, something. You take in and you read the Parsha one time and you say, oh, why it's like this? Good. Why it's 2 months and 2 days? The Parsha is a little bit bigger than 2 months and 2 days. You understand? The people need to look. The Parsha is so much to talk about just from the big picture, not even to go to detail. Nobody even talking about the Parsha. You asking a question, why and why and why? It's an individual subject, but it's only to be related to one subject. And none of you basically even read the Parsha the way it's supposed to. The way I can hear from your question is like, and you're all adult, and you had like 2 days of vacation now. You could read. It's not no working, nothing. You're sitting at home. You're going to shul, you can open and read the parsha. And every day sitting between Mincha and Mariv, you need to... a little bit. Please. Yes.
It says in the switch parsha about the Levium. Yeah.
You know, we're going to make something. We're going to make something for next week. Okay? For next week, we're going to start to change a little bit the process there. Every week, somebody going to give a Dvar Torah for 7 minutes on the parsha. Okay?
Okay.
Who volunteer for next week? You are. All right. You the need. Do you the weeks after? 7 minutes at Dvar Torah on the parsha that you prepare for yourself. Okay. Very good.
One item or like the whole?
Whatever you want to talk to about the parsha, something that relate to the parsha, to the overall look parsha. Okay. Please. What's the question?
The question is. It says that Aaron HaKohen took all the Levium and shook them like a lulav, 22,000. How is that possible to do that in one day?
They asked this question already.
I have another question.
I was also, Craig touched a little bit on my question. It seems like Moshe Rabbeinu is like kind of bound up a little bit with Yisrael, like he needs a permission or something for something. He's asking him to stay. What's the connection then?
Connection of what? Of Yitro?
Yeah.
And Moshe Rabbeinu.
And then I understand Yitro to be kind of a little on the shady side. He's not necessarily such a tzaddik.
Listen. Let's not call name to anybody. Okay? Let's try to focus on the Parsha.
I think you told me once he was more wicked.
I never said that he was wicked. God forbid. I said that Yitro, he is not as friendly as he looks. You need to be careful from the people from your own home. That's all. They can affect you dearly. God, watch me for my friend. For my enemy, I will watch myself. And when Yitro come in and he call himself that he is a father-in-law, you need to be careful. Okay? So it's not that anything. It just can affect the system, the process of Hashem. It can affect it drastically that other people couldn't affect Moshe Rabbeinu.
Why?
Because he is his father-in-law.
Family.
Mishpuche. Okay? So Mishpuche is very dangerous. Next. So I'm going to start to talk about the Parsha. Yes, please.
Just the whole... I know you've said this in the past about the connection between Eldad and Medad and the whole incident with Miriam and Moshe's wife and the Rosh Hashanah and the Tzaras and that whole understanding of it. But you wouldn't mind going over it again.
I will try to wrap the Parsha first because I don't think that anybody really get the Parsha what we are talking about.
Right, and I still can't figure out other than the one reference to... other than the one reference at the end to the vision of lighting the menorah, what the tie-in is for the Haftarah. I mean, one of the only parshas where only places in all of Torah where it mentions the word named Satan by name and discusses his role. Very unusual, I think, in that way. And it's like this whole confrontation that's going on is actually very interesting. A little better understanding of that as well.
Okay, so we're going to try to understand the Parsha Baal Otcha. Baal Otcha, we're talking about Aaron HaKohen. We're talking about the job of the Kohanim. Am Israel have a position. Every person have a job to do. The Kohanim have a job, the Levim have a job, the President have a job, every tribe have a position that the way they need to conduct their life. Like Reuven Kegel, the Rabbi Kegel, Rabbi Reuven asked, what Aaron felt so bad about last week, Parsha, that the President bring all the sacrifice, and he have no job to do with the accomplishment of the Mishkan. Aaron felt bad about it. So God come and he tell him, do not feel bad. You're going to light the menorah every day. Day job is one time job. Your job is for eternity. Every day to light the menorah to shine to the entire universe. Now, the question is, בעלותך את הנרות יאירו פני המנורה. Aaron taking any elevate the candle. He's supposed to take and to better the candle, to take them up. When Aaron take and light the candle, the entire face of the menorah gonna be shine. What does it mean? We have many subjects in this Parsha that we need to focus on. What they doing in this Parsha, like you call it about Pesach Sheni, from the Parsha before to this Parsha, in the last Parsha it was 1 year and 1 month, in this 2 years and 2 months. That means 2 years and 1 month. That means it's exactly 1 year passed from the last parsha. That means that we are again in Pesach Sheni. That means everybody was prepared, everybody was pure. People that could celebrate the Pesach, people that couldn't celebrate the Pesach. People could get the benefits from life. People couldn't get, they got it in the second part, in the second Pesach. The only holiday that we describe already that we have a second chance, a second holiday, it's only Pesach. Why? Because in Pesach we are being judged on the harvest. And the harvest is the parnasa, the wealth, whatever the person gonna make in the year to come. And they say, Kashim, it's very hard, parnasa on Hashem, like a split of the ocean. For Hashem to give somebody his food, his money, every year, is hard like a split of the ocean. We already explained that. What is the explanation? That every person that he does his job, he need to understand that only he can do his job. Nobody else can compete with him to do his job. We have an obligation to do our job and to be happy about the job that we're doing. If somebody is a shoemaker, or if somebody is something else, he have a job to do, and the job that he does, it need to be a perfect job and a perfect result, because he is the only one that can do that. That's the last time. I don't want to see it anymore.
What?
Whatever happening now, or you want me to stop, or you want me to stop now. Please. Thank you. That means when a person conducts his life, he need to understand that whatever he does have an effect on the universe. Aaron gonna take and gonna light the menorah. He's gonna better the menorah gonna get the entire lighting. When a person learns in Torah and his face is shine, the entire body gets shine. It's not only the face of the menorah. Like Abraham Avinu, that God saw him, that he light a candle for God everywhere in Babel. So God said, if you already want to light a candle for me, that people will recognize that God is exist, come light it in the land of Israel. He took him and he put him in the land of Israel. How can Abraham can shine for Hashem? Can Abraham light a candle for Hashem? Did Hashem need the light of Abraham? Apparently, yes. Because we can only shine to the level that we're living by. God could be in the street, but nobody looking. When Abraham Avinu, in the dark of the day, light a candle in his window, and everybody saw that the king is in the street, everybody start to light the candle for the king. We are living in a time that people doesn't see anything. People can relate only to their own kind or to their own level. So Avraham Avinu, whatever he did, he took and he light, he reflect the light that God gave him, and he reflected to the universe, so people will be able to look at Avraham and to see that God is exist. So how it's tied into the entire parsha? We have in this parsha, we have the Levim. We need to take, we have an obligation to Aaron taking and erase the Levim. Basically, we're going to get to Yitro. Yitro going to come and say, look what they did to me. They shave my body and they throw me in the air like I am a ball that they throw him in the air. So you need to elevate and to better the things around you. So Aaron take and he have an obligation to raise the Levim. Then we're talking about Eldad u'Mildad. That Moshe Rabbeinu, the people complain about meat, about the cucumber, about the zucchini. Moshe Rabbeinu, come and he complained to Hashem. And he said to Hashem, did I give birth to these people? Am I their mother, their father? Did they come in to complain to me? From where I'm going to give them meat? Where I'm going to sustain all these things that they need? And if you do not support this nation, take me away from the book. Kill me. I don't want to be part of that. We have a situation in life. The Yetzer Hara getting everywhere and getting to everybody. Moshe Rabbeinu facing a big challenge. What is the challenge that Moshe Rabbeinu facing? The people are complaining constantly. We start with Aaron, that Aaron felt bad, that he couldn't bring sacrifice because he was not being asked, because he thought that God is angry about the golden calf that he did. And then we find the people complain about the meat, the vegetable. So they tell us that the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination, coming constantly to attack us. How does he attack us? People like to complain. When somebody said, oh, I remember the cucumber that we had in Egypt, Moshe Rabbeinu said, are you complaining? They said, no, we are not. But the eggplant, are you complaining? No, but the fish that we had. Are you complaining? No, but the meat that we had. So Chazal come and tell us that the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination, it's coming to attack the person by giving him a reason, excuse. The Yetzer Hara call anyway, or but, or in Hebrew, that you are not going to be able to accomplish what you're supposed to accomplish. If somebody tell you a story, I love you, but. As soon as you hear the but, basically everything that he said before that, it's all gone into the wind. The same thing when a person does things in life. The Yetzer Hara come and he tell you the book is too big. Anyway, you are not going to finish the book. Why you even start? Anyway, you are not going to be a tzaddik. Why even to go there? Anyway and anyway and anyway. The same thing here. The people complain. What they complain? They complain about the desire. They complain about the meat. They wanted to have a meat. Meat is desire. In all your desire, you eat meat. And for this, they got punished. What they got punished for? That whatever God gave them, it was never enough. Person not allowed to complain about anything that he got in life. Everything that God gave to the person needs to be very happy. Whatever we have, whatever we need, God already gave us. And if somebody complains about his reality and about what God gave him, we basically get in punishment. Moshe Rabbeinu complained, God tell him to take 72 leaders and to keep and to put from his glory on them. As soon as he gave this glory on these 72 people, two people got prophesied. They stay in the camp and they start to prophesy against Moshe Rabbeinu.
Did Moshe complain or did he say, I really just need
help? No, the people complained. Sure. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, I did not give birth to this nation. Why you are throwing it? Why do you throw them on me? I did not do anything to them. I'm not the mother, I'm not the father. Why don't you give them what they want? He complained to Hashem. And he said, if you don't give them what they want, kill me.
But Hashem wanted him to not have the 72. He wanted him to be the guy.
I understand. But his complaint led to the 72 people. That God said, take the old people, 72 people. Basically, that's the Sanhedrin. And put from your glory on them. And they're going to help you to lead the country.
So it was after Yitro told him what he told him that he said this?
So, these, the 72 people, two of them stay in the camp and they start to prophesy. What they prophesy? They say, Moshe Rabbeinu died, Yoshua leading us to the land of Israel. And all kind of things against Moshe Rabbeinu. Yoshua heard this and he said, Moshe Rabbeinu, Klaem, shall I put them in jail? What is jail? We don't have jail in our reality. He basically said, shall I put an angel, Malach, Klaem is the word of Malach, of angel, shall I put an angel, basically, shall I put a public work on them? When the person have a public work, his reality of spirituality coming down. He need to deal with too many problems. Moshe Rabbeinu said, what, you are jealous to me? Let them prophesy. What did they prophesy? Usually people prophesy. Moshe Rabbeinu gave them the strength and they prophesied against Moshe Rabbeinu. Who was standing there? Whoever stand there, Rashi writes, Miriam and the wife of Moshe, Tzipora. When Tzipora heard these two people prophesize, what did she say? She said, poor wife of this couple, of these two people. Why? Because now they're going to separate from their wife. Miriam said, what? She said, yes, from the time that Moshe Rabbeinu started to get prophesized from Hashem, he's separate from me. In the end of the parsha, they're talking about Miriam, that she spoke about the black wife that Moshe Rabbeinu took. What did she talk about? They call Tzipora Isha Kushit, a black lady. What does it mean? Like everybody agreed the black is black, everybody was agreed that Tzipora, she's the best lady, best modest, best pretty, best from every kind that you can look at her. Every lady will look at her, we say that she's the best. And if she is the best, and she is not good enough for her husband, when he gets in prophecy from Hashem, and she said, God, I am prophet too, God talking to me too. That means that what we are doing here, that means if we are here looking for spirituality, by getting spirituality, we're going to lose our relations with our husband. Who need this? That means none of the lady going to be good to the husband. And the Torah said that she spoke against Leshon Hara, a bad, even discussion that she spoke about the leader of Am Israel, but she basically did not speak about Moshe. She spoke about Tzipora and the Jewish lady. If you look in about this parsha, every part of the parsha is action and reaction. Starts from the people complain, start from Aaron lighting the menorah, start from the Miriam that she is talking about Moshe Rabbeinu. And what is the chatzotzrot, the trumpet? Why we are talking about trumpet and not talking about the shofar? Why don't we blow up the shofar when we go and we need to move the people? So if you look in today, in every wedding, as soon as they finish the kiddushin, the chuppah, the trumpet starts. Why trumpet? Because chatzotzra, it means chatzi tzura, a half a shape. When a person needs to understand that everything that he do in life, everything that we will do and we did and we are going to do, we are only half a shape. We need the other half to complete us. When a person getting married, chatzotzrot, he need to understand that he is chatzi tzura. He is a half a shape. He needs his wife to accomplish what the other side. Without her, he is basically nothing. The same thing in every part of the parsha. The part of the parsha we look in, like Rabbi Mike said, "Vayi bin soa Aaron, vayom Moshe kuma Hashem v'yanusu yasu v'yanusu penecha misonecha v'yovecha." That we say every time that the Torah getting out from the ark, everybody going after the Torah. What does it mean, Vayi bin soa Aaron? The Torah taken, they put it in double noon, in the beginning and the end, in the upside down noon. Why? So the Midrash say yes, this is supposed to be another book that when Mashiach will come, it will be the book when that today we have the Dvarim, the Deuteronomy. This is a book that they call it Mishneh Torah. That's a repeating of the entire Torah. It will be the fifth book that's supposed to come. That really, that's the book that Vayi ben Soharon that has been hidden until the time Mashiach will come. And this is the following of Hashem. What does it mean, Vayi ben Soharon? Every time when a Jew, the Jewish nation in the desert, they said that the ark, the clouds on the ark was there, sometime a day, sometime a week, sometime a month, sometime years. But when the people seen the clouds rise and move, and people need to move after the ark. By us accepting to walk after the Torah, and we say, Vayi ben Soharon Vayom Moshe Kum Hashem, we accept in exile. When you walk four steps after the Torah, you basically accept an exile. Every time that the ark move, the people need to follow the ark. By following the ark, basically the camp, when people sin, the camp become to be contaminated. When the camp become to be contaminated, people need to leave. The Shekhinah cannot stay there. So people need to follow the Shekhinah for to be able to sustain the camp to keep going. So they've been accepting exile and they follow Hashem because they cannot stay in the same place because the camp become to be impure. So we look in here and a maintenance job that need to be done every day. We're looking from starting from Aaron that is elevating the candle. And by elevating the candle, the entire menorah getting shine. Up to the end that we are looking, that we need to follow the menorah, follow the Torah. We call us a wandering Jew. Why? Because every time that you're making a mistake, you need to move. That's the biggest exile. We know that moving from the place is the start with the first punishment with Cain, that he need to leave. The place wouldn't tolerate you more than one day in the time in where you stand. The same thing a person needs to understand, when he does a mistake, the place wouldn't tolerate him. He's going to have to leave. And to leave is not a blessing. They call us a wandering Jew. We're constantly living. We're constantly moving from place to place. What is the obligation that we have? By looking in this parsha, what is the obligation that we have? If we look through the parsha, and from every obstacle that we looked, and we are looking from everything that we got in this parsha, it doesn't look so promising. Also Yitro left. They promise him the good of Hashem. He said, if you're following us, we're going to go to the land, we're going to give you the good of Hashem. Whatever God promised us. What we are talking about here? Yitro was willing to come. He took a parsha in the Torah. He took one entire parsha in the Torah. He basically came and he took the gravy of everything. And after that, he said, goodbye, I'm leaving. Why? What is the paradox in this parsha? The problem in the parsha is when a person does something once, is no problem. But to be able to sustain that every day, that's where is the difficulty in life. When you go in and you learn Torah one day, is no problem. But to be able to keep the man, the Lechem Mishneh, every day in the Torah, it's difficult. But to be able to see the people get prophesized, but to speak prophecy against the person that give you the prophecy, against the person that give you the light. The universe around us is not in a favorite of us. For a person to be able to maintain the universe going to be a favorite of us is, we need constantly to shine the light of Hashem on everybody. Constantly we need to take the obligation every day. If the people take the obligation every day, the camp will never be contaminated, and we're going to be able to stay there. And if people will take the obligation every day, we're never going to ever complain against Moshe Rabbeinu, against the leader. They saved them out from Egypt and saved their life and saved their family. And he wouldn't complain to Hashem. And the Hashem wouldn't come and beat up the people. That means to sustain something every day, the work of Aaron every day to better the menorah and to light the entire universe from this menorah, this is what is our job every day. And if we're doing this job, none of the other thing will happen. None of the other thing will happen. Every Jew have an obligation. If we be able to elevate, we be able to destroy. When Yeshua got into the land of Israel, he asking the angel comes to them in the front of him with the sword in his hand. Yeshua asked him, Atalanu or Letzarenu? Are you with us or you are against us? There's nothing in the middle. Either you are with us or either you are against us. The same thing here. If a person doesn't do Kiddush Hashem, it's basically Chilul Hashem. There's nothing in the middle. So a person needs to look, and whatever we do, we need to pay attention that it's really, really very important. The way Aaron maintained his light to shine the entire menorah, and when he light the candle above, he light the entire body of the menorah. When a person learning Torah, he shine himself and his body, even though that God is the biggest light in the universe. But if you do not reflect the light of Hashem into the world, nobody gonna see the light of Hashem. And every little step that we are looking into this parsha, we need constantly, we have an obligation to elevate the environment. And this is what is exactly what this Shavuot is about. The main part of Shavuot is Va'avta l'Re'acha Kamocha. You need to love your friend like you love yourself. How you do that? They're telling us that the biggest sinner in Am Yisrael, they are Mele'im Mitzvot Karimon. They are full mitzvot like a pomegranate. So they said, if they are full of a mitzvot, how can you call them wicked? This is two sides to look at the universe. It's either sumira or either aset tov. Either cut the bad or either do good. And if a person want to cut the bad, he can call people wicked. But if a person want to do good, he need to look that every one of these person he is full up like 613 mitzvot with all the mitzvot like a pomegranate from every side. So he is not such a wicked. Every side that you look at the person, it's either you look at that to benefit him and the entire Am Israel, or either you basically look at him and you say that he is not capable because you cannot sustain the consistency every day. Yitro, in the end, he leaving. Because he said, listen, I'm willing to come with you 1 day, 2 days, a month, a year, 2 years. But I cannot sustain that forever. To do a Kiddush Hashem every day, it's very hard. Everybody willing to die for Hashem. But to live for Hashem, very difficult. Why? The Yetzirah give us reason. Anyway, you are not going to be able to be successful. Anyway, you are not going to be able to accomplish that. Anyway, you are not going to be a tzaddik. Anyway, so why even to start? And a person needs to know that he needs to take his life 1 day at a time and to accomplish 1 day at a time. More than what he sees in the front of him, should not going to let the Yetzirah let him fall. The evil inclination to let him fall. Because it's very easy to fall. Very hard to climb. And if we look at that, and every day at a time, and not like Eldad Umeldad, they prophesize for the future, to let the people are losing their faith that Moshe Rabbeinu not going to get with them to the land of Israel, it will be better if they keep the prophesies to themselves. We see many things by many people. We need to try to put challenge in the front of the people, just the challenge that they can overcome. not to put a big step or a big obstacle in the front of them that they cannot do it. And if you take it one step at a time, you have 365 days in the year, you're going to be able to accomplish a lot of steps to climb. Not many people can jump steps and can be able to be there right away. Any question? Do you want to ask a question?
It seems like Yisrael in earlier Parsha tried to give Moshe Rabbeinu a way to handle it all by having people be in leaders in charge of tens and of hundreds and of thousands and of tens.
Okay.
And it seems to come out in this Parsha, he talks a little bit about Yisrael, but now he's telling Hashem basically that I can't handle it. So I guess my question is there a relation there?
Is not that he cannot handle that. People ask for things, the Yetzirah getting into the people. When the people say that they want basar, they want meat, they complain about the man. We learn it already from Yosef. Yosef, your question is a very good question. What the people complain and what Moshe Rabbeinu give up? People, as soon as they left Egypt, they complained about the relationship. Many people was married in a wrong environment. They had to separate family. When they got into Mara, it was bitter, the Torah was bitter. People didn't like it. Many people, the way they got their life set up, it was not applicable to the Torah, and they had to adjust. So they didn't like it. So, but if we're looking about Yosef with the wife of Potiphera, that one time the Torah said, tell us that Potiphar didn't know anything in his house beside the bread that he is eating. When the wife coming to seduce him, Yosef tell his wife of Potiphera, how shall I do such a thing? My master didn't limited me anything in this house beside you, that you are his wife. So the comparison between the bread and the wife is the same comparison. So when people complain about the manna, about the bread that they're eating, and about the meat is desire, is really they complain about the relationship that they have there. They wanted to have different relationship. They wanted to have more. It was not enough. If you want to complain, you can find a million reasons to complain. Only one way to live in peace. If you want to fight with somebody, a million ways to fight. Only one way to live with peace, to accept him the way he is, to accept the situation the way they are, where they are. But as soon as you start to complain, I can give you a million reasons to complain about my wife. And they are all good reasons. But I have only one reason not to complain. I chose her to be my wife. I need to honor my choice. The same thing the people, they follow Moshe to the desert, they need to honor their choice. They couldn't.
Then there was a plague.
That was a plague. The plague came right away after that. Because the person, when he makes a choice, he choose something, he need to honor himself for to be able to maintain his choice. We choose all the time, every day, with making our decision. We want it, we don't. We want it, we don't. In the end, we're looking at the basket, what we choose, most of the time we don't like it. Why? Because we are not objective. And because we are not objective, we already losing whatever we have. A person needs to get the support system from the environment for to be able to trust the leader that he follow. People need to trust Aaron, that he elevate them. People need to trust Moshe Rabbeinu that he lead them to a safe place. But instead of to back up the leader is good only how, only the way the people believe in him. If the people are not believing in the leader is not good. Moshe Rabbeinu said they are not following me. They cannot follow. They cannot believe in me. Even Miriam, even the prophet, even the people, they are all going against the leader. How good is the leader? As good as the people, they follow him.
a leader is in accordance to how worthy the people are?
That's correct, 100%. The people is according the way the people are worthy, that's the leader, the way the leader is. We cannot complain about the leader. If God wanted to take the entire nation down the drain, he take and he put the wrong leader on the top and he take all of them down. Why? If the people are not worthy to have a good leader.
So were there any shortcomings in Moshe then as a leader?
Shortcoming? Please, I don't understand the question.
He made mistakes in front of the people. Did he also too have complete faith?
You know,
for the people to follow?
You know, it's very nice what you're asking. Surprisingly, that we're talking about Yosef HaTzadik, he was the Mashiach. He is the Mashiach. What the brother did to him?
He sold him.
They wanted to kill him.
Right.
They sold him in the price of a pair of shoes. And the Midrash said that we're going to do the same thing to the Mashiach when he will come. It's not because he is a weak. Yosef was not weak. We see what he did in Egypt. But he never used his strength against his own people. Moshe Rabbeinu, his own people saw it as a weakness that he is not using his own strength against his people. King David was a fighter. If you read everything about King David, he never, ever used his strength against his own people. Even Shimshon Agibo, Samson, he can fight, he can kill 10,000 people. He never fight against his people. Never use his power against his own people. A leader, a good leader, never uses power against his own people.
A leader anymore if he does.
That's correct. But like you're saying, he asking if it's any default by Moshe. It's not default by Moshe. Moshe is perfect. He is the most modest man on earth. He thinks that everybody is important. And that's the way leader is supposed to be.
Right.
But we should never use it as a weakness. People think that when the leader is accepting them and willing to walk the distance to them, he's a weak. He's not.
That's what a leader is.
I have a question, Rabbi.
Please.
There was a time when David HaMelech was taking in guilt for the Beit HaMikdash and people were starving. And he didn't use that money in the treasury to feed the people. People starved. Is that not using, or the inverse, not using, using his power against the people? Wasn't he punished because of that? Doesn't that mean that there was blood on his hands because he didn't feed those people? And that's why he didn't see the Beit HaMikdash?
King David didn't see the Beit HaMikdash for many reasons why God didn't let him build the Beit HaMikdash. Even that you do your fight for Hashem, when your hand is full of blood, with many reasons.
Mm-hmm. These people were starving. Why didn't he use the money? The tremendous sickle. How come he didn't feed the people? Why did he let them starve? How could he? This doesn't make sense. To somebody who's so sensitive to his people. That's nothing, right? I'm ignorant, so I ask this question out of ignorance.
King David, when he raised money, it was not a mandatory to give the money. The money was volunteered by the people to give. Mm-hmm. The Torah tells us, "Ki lo yechdal evyon min haaretz." It's always going to be poor people in the land. Always. It's never going to be such a thing that there's no poor people. What is the poor people are sustained for? Why God create poor people?
So rich people could give them.
So it will be a balance, so these people, rich people, that they have the money, they can be able to do mitzvot with what they got. They could be able to give to somebody. Otherwise, nothing happened. And if the people doesn't give, the king have an obligation to run the country. Yes, he have an obligation for his people. But the main thing, the people have the obligation for people.
That's why it doesn't make sense. He had the treasury. It would seem like the people were more important than...
Okay, we are not talking about King David now. I need to look at that very carefully. I don't recall exactly what happened in there. Okay. And I believe that whatever he did, I recall that he did not, that he neglected to feed the people. I recall that. I just don't remember what exactly was the situation. Okay. So a leader is good as the people they follow him. If the people are following the leader, they do not put a doubt in the leader will be very successful. If the people put a doubt in the leader will not going to be able to be as successful as he want to be. Because the leader should never use his power against his people. And when we say, Vayi b'nso Aharon, every time that it was a failure, that we had to move, the people put the doubts in the system. People put the doubt in Moshe, people put the doubt in Hashem. And if the people are going to follow with the full faith, Yitro saw God. Yitro saw the giving of the Torah. He saw the split of the ocean, he saw everything. And nevertheless, he couldn't follow. Why he couldn't follow? He is willing to die for God, but he is not willing to live for him. Everybody willing to die for God. Even Bilam HaRasha, he said, "V'tiyeh achariti kamohu." I want to go where they're going. I want to die and to die and where they're going. But to live for God every day, cannot do it. Not Yitro, not Bilam, not anybody.
It's harder.
It's not harder. It's very hard to live for Hashem, that people are going to look at you and see that God exists through you. That they're going to see the name of the guy being called, name of God being called on you. Very hard. Yes.
Even these terrorists, all they want to do is die for their so-called, that's.
I don't want to bring other nation what they do with their life. The Jew are not, no, is no mitzvah to die for Hashem. All the mitzvah that we have is said to live by them. God give us a mitzvah that we're going to survive by them, not to die by them.
To kill us.
You understand?
Yeah.
The Torah doesn't ask you to do anything to die for the mitzvah. They find any reason that you should be able to survive. And any reason that you should be able to do the mitzvah and to live by them. So whatever other people tell you that you need to give up your life for God, God did not ask that. Nowhere in the Torah said that God asked you to sacrifice yourself to Him. Every mitzvah that He gave you is to be able to survive. That people are going to be able to see that the sacrifice that you do to survive, to be able to reflect God into the universe.
I believe when it comes to worshipping and bowing down to a false God, we're supposed to sacrifice ourselves. You know, things are like
that. I don't hear you, I'm sorry.
I say, I believe when it comes to worshipping a false God or an idol, we're supposed to give up our life for that.
So they said to worship any idol. Yes, what's wrong about worship idol?
It's a commandment, Hashem said not.
Yeah, but what's bad about it?
It's worshiping yourself.
What it's going to lead to.
When any worship idol, from the time Moshe Rabbeinu up to now, it comes always with a sex ritual. The people worship idol because they wanted to sin. Not because they worship idol. Because it's allowed them to do a certain things that they want to do. So if it's given to us from Moshe Rabbeinu that every worship idol has come with sex ritual, that means it's a false reality that you're living by.
And that's the most destructive to the society.
Today, the Midrash Rabbah said that we have three things that a person should kill himself and not gonna do. One is sex morality, the other one is killing, and the third one is idol worship. So the Midrash Rabbah said the idol worship will go away from the world. The missionary to kill is gonna go away from the world. The only thing that it will sustain and gonna get very strong is sex morality. And before sex morality, people will kill and people will do idol worship. And that's where we are in our time. So we need to have a very strong environment for to be able to have a very good leader and a very good support system, that we're going to have a reason to live for God every day and not to die for Him. And not to do a mistake and not to need to accept exile and not to do things that is difficult to accept. The Haftarah. What do you want to ask about the Haftarah?
To tie it into the parsha, you always say that the line where it meets, so that it talks about the menorah, the vision at the end, but then it talks about this whole thing between Yeshua and Satan and Hashem and this whole...
The Yetzer Hara is coming all the time to solicit us to fall. We are constantly being tested. Constantly. Even the high priest, that he is doing the job for Hashem, the Satan come to challenge him. That means, it's not such a thing. If somebody give you any formula how to avoid the Yetzer Hara, don't believe him. It's not such a thing, a formula to avoid him. It's a constant fight for to be able to survive. The war never ends. From the day that you're born until the day that you die, you need constantly to have a good leader in the front of you and to have a faith in your leader, and you need to have faith in Hashem for to be able to know that you should not trust yourself what you see in your own eyes. Because we need the support of the environment for to be able to be a winner.
So is the menorah the antidote for this problem?
The menorah... If
you first told the story about this and then later said go and light the menorah?
If you look at your face, or anybody's face, they have seven branches in the face. We have two ears, two eyes, two nose, two holes in the nose and one mouth. And all this supposed to be able to trickle down the light of the soul into below to the base that we're standing in the ground to this universe. And it's very easy to be spiritual in the face, in the eyes, in the ear, in the mouth. But to walk and to bring it down to our feet, to the lowest, to walk the distance with Torah and mitzvot, is very, very hard. When the rabbi, a person chooses a rabbi and the rabbi tell him, why don't you follow this path? Why don't you do this? It will be very hard for the person to do. And that's where is the main part in life. That's what's making the difference between a person that is going to be successful or the person that is going to be going to different direction. When a person have a good rabbi and he trusts the rabbi and the rabbi lead him to the right this right destiny or right this direction, he's going to be very successful. The problem is that the person need to put the faith in his rabbi, need to put the faith in his leader. That this leader is going to be a role model, that he will be willing to follow him.
Was Moshe Rabbeinu's emunah in Hashem perfect?
100%.
And what is perfect emunah?
Perfect, that means no me. Out me. Me and you, God said, cannot be living in the same universe.
What does it mean?
If God is exist, I am not exist. And if I am exist, God is not exist.
What does it mean, not me?
That means...
we live in a universe of me.
I understand. Me, that means is the Yetzer Hara. I mean, anything that I do for me, I already lost. God gave us the heart, He put it on the left side. It's on the right side of every person in the front of us. We need to find the reason to do for everybody else besides to do for ourselves.
So everything we should do is for the King?
For?
The King.
For the King. I think the King already gave us a Torah. We need to do everything for the Torah. The Torah and mitzvot. And when you do the Torah, the mitzvot, you need to apply ve'aftal le'reacha kamocha. You need to love your friend like you love yourself. Every mitzvah that you do, if you add, you need to love your friend like you love yourself, you're going to be able to do the mitzvah in a complete way. It's very hard. Because everybody doing something, even if we give mitzvot, we give donation, we do something, we always ask, what about me? What is in for me? The society that we live in has very much corrupted us, that we are, everybody is just about me. And for to be able to be a full example for God, is just to reflect the light of Hashem here, a person needs to be selfless. It's nothing to do with me. And you need to see the hand of God in everything that he does, that he is there to reflect the light of God. Yes?
I have a question about something totally unrelated to the parasha. What is the concept of, what does Yisro Chag mean exactly? Today is Yisro Chag. After every going up to you every regal to quote Easter Chag the day after. What is that?
The Easter Chag mean that we are very hard for us to leave the holiday. We still maintain a certain kind of, we don't say tachnun, we try to be still in connect to the holiday. We don't want to let go so easy. Don't let, as soon as the holiday finish, don't cut it out. You know, let it go slowly. That's what called Yisru Chag. Please, I want to thank everybody for coming. I want to thank everybody for watching. And with God's help, that every one of us, we need to have a good leader. Moshe Rabbeinu was a great leader. The leader never uses power against his own people. That's a good leader. Even if the people use it against him, Moshe Rabbeinu was willing to fight against Hashem, just not to fight against his own people. The same thing King David, every good leader, all the time using his power against the outside universe, not against his own people. But nevertheless, we should not look at that as a weakness. When you have a rabbi that he has never used his power against you, that means he's a good rabbi. Don't take it as a weakness, God forbid. Especially when you have a wife and a husband. And if the husband is very nice, or the wife is very nice, don't think it's a weakness. You need to look at it as a strength. And with this strength, we're going to be able to sustain our environment, to be very pure. And the people around you, if somebody use the power that you give him against you, we have weakness only to the people that are close to us. People that are far away from us, they cannot harm us. God, watch me for my friend. For my enemy, I will watch myself. When somebody you know is an enemy, you keep him out the door, behind the door, behind closed door, you don't bring him closer to you. But the people that you bring closer to you, you need to be for sure that they are not going to use it against you. And if somebody does, you got your answer already.
Just very quickly, King David, though, we see with his children, didn't discipline them.
We're not talking about the King David. It's a long story. I don't want to get dragged into that.
Can we talk about it at a different time?
Different time. King David, he has his own royalty. He's a king.
Understand.
Baruch Hashem. So whatever he did for Am Israel, and he was the best king for Am Israel. People loved him. Whatever he did with his children, he did not discipline them. This is a different subject. It's not for this subject now.
So when we see leaders today,
I don't want to talk about leader today.
Not today.
I'm sincerely talking to an individual and said, choose your rabbi, that he is going to be your leader. Don't choose a big leader. Choose somebody next to you first. If you be able to choose somebody next to you and you're doing good, you'll be able to choose something else that you do good. But if the people doesn't surround themselves with a good environment, it's very difficult to climb up. We need to trust the environment, not to put a doubt. Not to put a doubt about Moshe Rabbeinu, not to put a doubt about God, about this, about that. We need just to keep everything. If we follow, we need to have faith. And if it's you don't want to follow, you don't have faith, don't follow. But if you follow, follow in 100%. If you follow Hashem, follow in 100%. And you're going to be very successful.
True Amuna, then, you were saying, is where you don't exist, it's only Hashem? Is that what you said?
He asked, what is a good leader? I said, Moshe Rabbeinu was a selfless.
Oh.
He was not there for himself. Everything that he did is only for Hashem.
Right.
Not everybody could be Moshe Rabbeinu. I did not ask you to be Moshe Rabbeinu. But if you want to know what is the high capacity in life, when a person uses his heart not for himself, he uses it for anybody else. To feel everybody else. To feel his wife, his children, his friend, his student, his Am Israel, his the Torah, his the mitzvot, everything else beside himself. That's the reason God put the heart on your left side, is on the right side of the person in the front of you. But most of the people use the heart for the wrong reason.
In the Shalom Bible.
How they feel. How you feel is not important. Your feeling is really not objective. Right. And if your feeling is not objective, you should not use them.
In the Sholem Bias test, though, when we talk about man and his ego, so is it really important to not have an ego?
100%. When you come in home, you need to remove your ego complete. You have no ego. Check it at the door. You have a mailbox there. Put the ego inside your mailbox.
What about in business?
And you come to your wife and you said, I'm selfless. In business, it depends what you're doing in business. Basically, I believe that your client choose you because you care for them. Not because you are selfless.
Right.
You are selfish. But you need to have something that you be able to give. You reflect what you have to the people. People will love you.
So if you have a good benevolent leader, and you put your full confidence in that person, and even if that person makes mistakes, it's apparent, it will correct itself.
100%. 100%. And you tell Hashem, Hashem, I put my faith in this person. Anything that you want to let me know what to do, tell to this person. And when you're going to go 120 years to Shamayim, and they're going to ask you, why did you do that? You said, my rabbi told me, believe me, that you are not going to be accountable for that. I want to thank everybody again. I wish you Shabbat Shalom, a beautiful Shabbos. And we see you next week. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.